And here we are. Law and Gospel, Uncommonsensical Theology on Worldwide KFUO. And it is an open mic Friday, the first day of July in the year of our Lord, 2016. It is an opportunity for you to phone in with any question on your mind of a theological nature. Numbers in St. Louis, 821-0850. And in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we talk a lot about law and gospel because the title of the program is Law and Gospel. Where do we get this from? Well, we obviously get it from the Bible. But it is also part of the confessions of the Lutheran Church called the Book of Concord. And in this Book of Concord, there is a formula of Concord that came about, ratified in about 1580, and has a number of controversies. And one of them is entitled, The Law and the Gospel. And they had controversies after Luther died, and this was one of them, some disagreements. So we're going to look at that between phone calls. The calls again, 821-0850 in St. Louis. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And by the way, James, if you're listening, now would be the time to call in, not in the last 2 minutes of the program. All right. Here's the controversy that was around in the 1580s. Is the preaching of the Holy Gospel properly not just a preaching of grace, which announces the forgiveness of sins, but also a preaching of repentance and reproof, rebuking unbelief, which some people say is not rebuked in the law, but only through the gospel? Wow. I can't even understand how anybody would think of the gospel that way. The best analogy to use of the distinction between law and gospel is that of a physician. We've used this many a time. A physician does two things when you come in for something wrong with you. Maybe you have a headache, sore arm, whatever is wrong. The first thing he does is diagnosis. And that means, it's actually from the Greek, it means to know through his analysis, what is wrong with you? Now, that is not good news. I mean, when's the last time you heard, oh, you have a virus and it's dangerous? Wow, what am I to do, doctor? And then he gives you the medicine. The medicine is the gospel. Now, can you imagine how is medicine a reproof? It's not a reproof of you, it's actually a comfort for you. So the law is where you get the reproof. Why do you need reproof? Because Christianity is offering something that simply makes no sense until you realize you need it. And that's the forgiveness of sins. Who needs the forgiveness of sins? Those who are sinners. How do you know you're a sinner? By the gospel? No. By the preaching of the law. So this is a very important understanding that law and gospel really differ. In fact, point six of this particular principle, the law and the gospel are also contrasted with each other. Likewise, also Moses himself, a teacher, himself as a teacher of the law, and Christ as a preacher of the gospel, are contrasted with each other. That's found in John 1, verse 17. In these cases, we believe, teach, and confess that the gospel is not a preaching of repentance or rebuke. It is nothing other than a preaching of consolation and a joyful message that does not rebuke, or terrify. Wow. That's really good. And we're going to be talking more about that between phone calls at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with a pal. Yes, you're on the air, sir. Hello?
Pastor Tom?
Yes.
Good morning, sir. It's John April Stevens.
Oh, April, how you doing?
Long time old friend of ours.
Oh, I know.
Amen. We're getting ready to go down to Sykes to visit mom who's got terminal cancer, so pray. But I've been thinking a lot lately about that passage of scripture, sir, and I wanted to hear your input and insight on it, Pastor Tom. That says scripture talks about it's the letter of the law that kills, but it is the spirit that gives life.
Do you have the verse in front of you?
I don't. We're on the road right now.
Oh, that's right. I know which one it is. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Can you share your input, insight, and whatever your thoughts may be on that?
Well, stay on the line just for a second.
Okay. Yes, sir.
How's your child?
Stephen is well. He has his first job. Thank you for asking. He has his first job at Home Goods, and he's worshiping with us at Pastor Mark's church.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. How's Miss Louise doing?
Who? Oh, my wife. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got an appointment with me on Saturday, so.
Oh, uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. No, she's very nice. We got a new refrigerator, and boy.
Oh, did you?
I can now find the food. I had a refrigerator where I had to call her in and ask me to get my sour cream out of the bottom of the refrigerator. I could never find it, but last night I was able to find whatever I needed. So, boy, it's a nice refrigerator. But
you're all set, ready to go.
Yeah, letter of the law versus spirit. Okay, the reason I asked about Stephen.
Okay.
Did he appreciate when he was growing up in your house that you had a bunch of rules?
No. Okay. Yes. No.
See, that's the letter of the law. Moses. In fact, that's just what we were talking about. April, your phone call is perfect timing. What did Moses bring down from Mount Sinai?
The tablets.
That's right. And boy, oh boy, it wasn't long before they were disobeying them also. And see, that's why the letter of the law. If boy, oh boy, if you said to Stephen, we'll love you if you wash the dishes, clean your room, cut the lawn, and wash the car. And if you don't do that, we're not going to love you. See, that's the letter of the law. That you love him on the basis of his obedience to you. You don't have that kind of family. Even when he disobeyed, I know you two, that you would still love him because the love of a parent towards a child is not based on their obedience, but on the fact that they were born into the family. The Spirit frees you from having to obey the commandments perfectly in order to get to heaven.
Oh, amen, amen. Okay, yeah. Well, when we lived down in Springfield, there was letter of the law all over the place.
Oh, well, the government has to use the letter of the law because that's the way they curb wickedness. A traffic signal light, that's the letter of the law. A stop sign, the letter of the law. How to pay your taxes, the letter of the law. And God allows the government to do that because it has nothing to do with salvation. And it doesn't matter what your motivation is in obeying the law, namely it's out of self-interest so you don't get a ticket. But because of that, you can have peace on earth as best as the government can do. But when the church uses the law to tell you that's the only way you can get to heaven, that is not very comforting.
It is not, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Tom.
I love your phone call. Okay, God bless. Thank you so much. And we're going to go down to the next, and that is Charles. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
What a delightful lady you're talking to. She must be a Real sweetheart.
Well, I actually got to meet them when I was on another radio station, and they phoned up, and we got to be very good friends. And then they decided they had a baby. And I actually was at the hospital on the day that Stephen was born.
Oh, how blessed for you.
And we've been in contact with her and her husband, John. And I tell you, last time I preached at Pastor Mark Smith's church, Prince of Peace, they were members there and they still are.
Oh, that was a super time for you to be there when they had their baby and for them as well.
Yes.
Numbers 27,
yep.
21, and others like them. But it's always been kind of an enigma to me, and I don't think that we really have a good handle on how God spoke to the Urim and Thummim. Any ideas as to guidance through those? Because this one said he used to go before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim.
Yes, that was a part of the vestments
right.
that the priest had.
Right.
And it was a way in which God would communicate to them what his will was. In the back of my mind, I'm not remembering just how that happened, but there was something about that they could tell whether God was saying yes or no, depending on those items.
Hmm.
And so it's just, I might look up that over the weekend and have a little better answer for you on Tuesday. But somehow those two items were able to help people come to an understanding of what God wanted them to do.
Yeah, and by saying an enigma to me, that doesn't imply anything wrong. Of course, God can do and can choose any way to reveal himself that he wants. So,
well,
okay.
Remember what happened with the choosing of the disciple?
Yeah, yeah, the lots.
They used lots.
Why don't we do that when we're choosing church leaders today?
We do.
They do?
It's called voting.
Voting, okay.
Yes.
Do we pray for the pray for it before we vote, though?
Well, we certainly do because we pray on Sundays. In fact, I'm working with the congregation right now, two of them actually, that are trying to call a pastor. And it's really important that prayer be done. And there is a procedure to follow. For example, a call committee will meet, and they need, if possible, to follow Synod's guidelines because they help us come to proper decisions about what we are to do.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thanks, Pastor, and may the Spirit of Jesus bless you much.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, and we're just going to go down now and talk with Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
How are you?
I'm very good, and how are you doing?
We're holding up pretty well, thanks.
And what kind of question have you got?
Well, I woke up this morning, and I stumbled upon a beautiful hymn in LSB number 705. And it's titled, "The Man Is Ever Blessed." And I came across a nice stanza in there, but I'm going to read the first part of stanza 1 and 2, and they're very short. It says, "The man is ever blessed who shuns the sinner's ways, but makes the law of God his study and delight." And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Tom would like to hear about that. Makes the law of God his study and delight.
That's actually the first two lines of stanza 1 and 2.
Right, but they're kind of part of the same sentence.
Yes, yes. What we're talking about here, who makes the law of God his study and delight. Remember, there are three uses of the law, the curb, the mirror, and then what we call the rule. And what is the rule? That is information to the Christian about what God's will is. Now, the other thing you need to know, both law and gospel have many meanings. And in the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament could be referred to as law or gospel. And what it means, even in the books of the law, you'll remember is Genesis 3:15, where Eve is a promise to her that through her seed would come the Messiah. So if you understand the word law in that sense, you can understand why it's our study and delight. Right. But I won't have any problem with someone saying, no, this refers to the third use of the law. When I have a decision to make of a theological nature, I look to the Bible to see if there's any guidance there. And that means that is my study and delight. So theology is the art of making distinctions, and you are absolutely correct. If you think the law saves me and that becomes my study and delight, no. That's not what the hymn says. By the way, right. This was by Isaac Watts.
Yes.
He was the author of this.
A master.
Yeah, oh, my, did he ever. Would you call him the Bach of the Reformed Church or the English Church?
I think that wouldn't be an exaggeration at all.
No, that's for sure. So that's how we understand when the word law is used. If it's used in the sense of the accusing use, then boy, I'll still study it, but it won't be my delight because it's like getting a diagnostic conclusion from the doctor.
Right.
But if you understand it also to refer to God's will for you. Because when we follow God's will, guess what? We're shunning the sinner's way.
Yes.
And that's why we're ever blessed.
One more comment.
Go.
I was listening on the phone waiting for my turn to be on, and I heard the radio in the other room, and it didn't sound like there was a delay. So I hope your listeners will be nice on the air.
We should have just taken that out, producer, you know, what he just said. How come there's no delay so we can...
Yeah, usually there's a seven-second delay or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that much involved here, but you see, my program, my listeners are so good. We don't need a delay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Bye.
And we're going to go down the line, and now we're going to be talking to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah, I was listening to that thing about the Urim Thummim, and but of course, you know, it was two pebbles with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last one. And depending on if they match or what the combination, that's what gives you the answer to the yes or no. But what I was calling about, it reminded me of something I heard on KFUO. And when they refer to the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation, this guy said that meant that Jesus Christ had all the answers. But he didn't refer to the Urim Thummim, but I knew that that's what the Alpha and Omega means. It's a reference to the Urim Thummim.
Oh, I had never thought of that, Mike, because Alpha and Omega are really the first and last letters of the alphabet.
Right. And Jesus Christ has all the answers because they were symbolizing him as the Urim Thummim. Not that he is the Urim Thummim, but you know how the Bible likes to do that.
Oh, I see. So you're thinking that Urim and Thummim were some kind of small devices with yes or no?
They were like dice. There were two white pebbles. One had the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The other one had the last one. And when you cast them, if the first two letters came up, that was yes. And if the last two letters came up, it was no. And if it was a mixed number, that means God wasn't going to answer you. And you could only do it once. You couldn't, like, cast it again and ask the same question.
Oh, really?
That was the whole trick of it, because you'd be a double-minded man if you did that.
Wow. Where do you get all this knowledge?
I don't know. After studying the Bible heavy since the fall of 1973, it's been my hobby. And, of course, I was down south a lot with the Pentecostals. And
yes.
But mainly, it's something when I get tired of thinking about things that bother me, I just go into my Bible stuff and read it just to get my mind off my problem.
Well, I sure appreciate it. And I also appreciate the occasional letter you send to me too, Mike. So,
oh, I try.
Yeah, God bless. Thank you very much for calling. And that's Mike, one of our regular listeners. In fact, We're not going to be able to take any more calls right now as we near the end. But what I do want to say is we're not going to be here on Monday. Why? Well, it's July 4th, Independence Day. I don't understand this. I lose my independence and I'm not provided the choice of coming to KFUO. Well, I can understand that because everything is going to be set up ahead of time and nobody's going to be here. In fact, the building's going to be closed. So I don't have a key to get into the building. In fact, today I forgot my badge to get into the room. So I had to call the office and one of the ladies came over and opened up the room for me. So on Monday, we will not be here. Now, that changes the scheduling for Law and Gospel next week. Normally, we do the text of the following Sunday. We're going to do that on Wednesday. So we won't have a regular Insight Wednesday. We're going to be looking at the text. And Tuesday, we're going to have our regular meeting with Reverend Pastor Mark Smith, where we're going to be taking a look at the hymn assigned for that particular Sunday in Pentecost. We really enjoyed the hymn for this week that we're going to be singing. In fact, I'm preaching at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, and I'm going to be there for a while. I'm hoping to preach each Sunday for a number of weeks because their pastor took a call, and I'm what is referred to as an interim pastor, which means I'm the fellow there to help them make a call to a full-time pastor. And we're kind of working on that right now. So when is the services at Trinity Orchard Farm? They are at 8 a.m. in the morning, Sunday, and 10:30. So there's two of them. And then at 9:15 about is a Bible study that we'll be going over various topics. By the way, how do you get to Trinity Orchard Farm? You go over 367. That's that new highway that's north. You get it off of 270. And as soon as you cross the Missouri River, you take the very first exit. It says Highway 94. And you go to the light and turn left and then go about 3 miles. And you go by the School of Trinity and then about a quarter mile down the way is the church. By the way, we're going to be starting adult instruction classes. In fact, I already had one yesterday, and it looks like two or three more are coming. Sometimes you'll be in a group. Sometimes we'll do it individually. It'll be kind of up to you to kind of do that. But Trinity Lutheran Church, Orchard Farm, it's a tremendous congregation. As I said, they have two services, and they also have a parochial school. And that parochial school has some excellent teachers. You see, something happens in a parochial school that doesn't happen in a public school anymore. And that is that the parochial school teachers are able to say things about God and ethics and the third use of the law and the gospel, which a public school teacher is forbidden to do. So this is a wonderful opportunity for a child to be really growing in the faith. I also will be teaching the confirmation classes, both in the parochial school and then also on Tuesday nights at the public school. So that's for youth, grades 6, 7, and 8. Looking forward to that. And I have a kind of a special technique of teaching on that level to keep it interesting. It's one of the toughest things to do is teach children at that age, because unlike adults who come to adult instruction, they want to come. They want to learn. But children, oh boy, we got to have memory work and all this sort of stuff. The first class, I'm going to teach them a way how to memorize things that makes it really easy to do memory work. But be that as it may, the main thing will be the teaching of law and gospel in regard to the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So if you're all interested, school hasn't started yet. You may want to give a look at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. And as I say, a great time to come is on Sunday at 8 and 10:30. By the way, the following Monday, the Monday after July 4th, we have begun a Monday night worship service at 6 o'clock. It's quite informal, and we look forward to having you visit us there also. We pray that you'll have a blessed July 4th. Yeah, we're going to be going visiting our children. We always enjoy that. Sometimes we stay around for the fireworks. But until Tuesday, not Monday, I'm Tom Baker. Again, to hear us on Law and Gospel, we'd love to have you also as a participant in our program as we had today. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.